Don't forget, there's still the calendars from Sunday night back at the back, church calendar, if you haven't received one. And some of you were asking whether you could have extras, and of course the answer is yes. And you can have as many as you'd like. Just make sure they get used. And so I would encourage you to put that up on your refrigerator. Though it, you know, HDTV says you're not supposed to clutter up the refrigerator, but it's still a great place to put it. Yes. Back when I had pay TV, I went to free TV here about 4 or 5 months ago. It's been enlightening, but I'll save those stories for another day. If you win your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. Appreciate Brother John being here tonight, Brother Penix, and what a blessing. And I enjoy fellowship with him. I enjoy hearing the stories, and I wish he could sit up here tonight and just tell you the story after story of people that they're reaching. They're in the remote areas of Alaska. I'll never forget. I know it wasn't you, brother, but another one of the guys up there was working on his vehicles out in the cold. I know you've done the same thing. And had no place to work on the church van or anywhere. Out in sub-zero temperatures trying to get church vans worked on. It's just amazing what they do up in that area. I tell you, I'm just encouraged by what's being done. Reach the lost, amen, no matter where they're at. Genesis chapter 41, and we'll continue our series on the life of Joseph tonight. Convictions about God's honor. Convictions about God's honor. And so let's look here, chapter 41 and verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed a dream. And there's still that wasp running around here. Did you see it? During the prayer meeting, it almost got me. That's why I went. It went right on my nose almost. It's a big target, right? Somebody asked me, Brother Nathan, Brother Penix boy was asking me about paintball. And I said, yeah, I like to play paintball. Problem is I get hit easy. First off, I'm just real nimble. I'm the most nimble guy in the world. And I'm a huge target. All right, y'all, would y'all, while I'm reading the rest of this, y'all watch for that wasp for me? We're supposed to be all looking at the scripture, but y'all were. I know you were. And all I saw was the shadow of the wasp coming across my Bible. It scared me. All right. I'm not allergic to wasps. I'm allergic to honeybees, though. Honeybees are bad. And he slept and dreamed. Verse 5. We're going to make it through this, all right? I know the time's running late, too. Everybody with me? Come on now. Verse 5. And he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. Verse 7. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh woke, and behold, it was a dream. If you underline any verse, underline verse 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh and saying, look at verse 16, this is what should be underlined. It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. It's God that interprets the dreams. And I just want to preach tonight again about giving honor to God, okay? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your love. We praise you. Bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think about the word honor, as we think about Joseph giving honor to the Lord. We use the honor as, you know, we think about honor class or honor roll or guest of honor or maid of honor and or yes, your honor, that might be a bad one. As we think about honor means to hold someone in high regard. It has closely associated with the word respect, to respect. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians, it says, honor thy father and thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. Again, respecting or honoring your parents. By the way, that was the first promise given the first promise that was given to us that had a blessing with it, which was long life and blessing. If you honor your parents, no matter our ages, we honor and respect our parents, God will bless you and God will give you long life. That's what the Bible says. Again, honor thy father and thy mother. And Joseph honored God with his life. And we see this over and over again. What can happen through a life and through a person who honors God with his or her life? What can happen? And we see this in Joseph's life. We see the dream that Pharaoh had a dream. He had two dreams. One about the cows and one about the corn. All right, we're going to be kind of summarizing this as we go along. And the well-favored cows came first, and then the bad-looking cows came up and ate the good-looking cows, and then we had the good-looking corn second, and the good-looking corn, and then the bad-looking corn second. Anyway, and they ate the good-looking corn. All right, and so when Pharaoh awoke, he was very, very troubled and concerned. Look there with me in verse 8. And it came to pass on the morrow that the spirit was troubled, and he sent, verse 8, and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them for Pharaoh. Don't say that. Huh? Don't make me take my jacket off. I'll do it right now. Huh? All right. I saw the shadow again. Gosh, this is going to be so distracting. You know, sometimes, remember it used to be flies. Okay. All right, everybody. It's a problem. I have ADD. I mean, this is never going to work. This is not going to work. If all you give, we've got visitors here tonight. This is going really good. Found out who the real pastor is here. Okay, here we go. And he called all the magicians together and the wise men. And nobody could come up with an answer for him. By the way, the world doesn't have the answers. The world doesn't have the answers to life. The world doesn't have the answer to salvation. And so I'm glad that I have the Bible that tells me what the answer is to life. Amen? And that is to honor God and to glorify Him. We see in verse 9, the butler was reminded of what happened with him. Look at verse 9. And then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my fault this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servant and put me in ward. And he goes on to tell him, hey, that I met a young Jewish boy, a young man in prison who interpreted my dream and also the dream of your baker. And the dreams came true, that his interpretation came true of what he interpreted. And so we see in verse 14 that Pharaoh called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Verse 15, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand dreams to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. It is not in me. God will give you an answer. And so Joseph was confident that God would make known the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream. It goes on that God showed to Joseph and gave Joseph the interpretation of the dream. And we know that the interpretation, if you've read this portion of Scripture, I'll summarize it for you, that there would be 7 good years of harvest would be overshadowed by 7 terrible years of famine. So the good calf or the good cows was the good years, and then the bad cows were the 7 bad years. 7 bad years of corn and so forth. All right, so you'd have 7 years of just plenty and then 7 years of famine. And so the interpretation was given to Joseph to give to Pharaoh. And so, by the way, it was given dually, or it was given twice, that in order for Pharaoh to understand that he could not change it, that it would come to pass no matter what Pharaoh did, but that there should be preparation made in light of the dream. That there should be preparation made in light of the dream. And that Joseph went on to say that Pharaoh should appoint a leader to collect the harvest, to put away a portion in the 7 plenteous years in order they might be ready and have food for the 7 years of famine. And you go on to see that in verse 37, that Pharaoh chose. The thing that was said was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, verse 37, and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servant, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Those are the two portions that I have underlined in my Bible. If you're reading your Bible and you come across this scripture, verse 16 and verse 38, we see that there is an absolute testimony on Joseph's part, and that he gave God the glory for everything. That he honored God by way of his words and also by way of his life. And there was no doubt in Pharaoh's mind that this was a man in whom the Spirit of God was. And what a testimony Joseph had. And so Joseph was put in command of these seven plenteous years. And by the way, God did that. Remember, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers when just a teenager. Sold to Potiphar, accused of immorality or accused of assault of Potiphar's wife, and was thrown into prison. And we've said all along that Joseph just kept believing God. He just kept his faith. And he knew that God was going to care for him. He knew God was going to take care of him. And at the age of 30, it happened. If you see a turtle on a fence post, you know somebody put it there, right? Here, there's no doubt that Joseph was put there. There's no doubt that he was put in this power, this place of position. Of all of Pharaoh's children, or all of Pharaoh's servants, of all of Pharaoh's musicians, and all Pharaoh's wise men, he chooses this young Hebrew to be the second in command of all of Egypt. You read about it. He says, nobody will be, you will be second in command. You'll be in charge of everything. It's amazing. It's amazing what God did for young Joseph. And Joseph continued to honor God after he was exalted. And we won't go into that because of time, but in verse 51 and 52, he names his children in light of honoring God. He just continued to see it over and over again, Joseph honoring God. Why did Joseph honor God? Why did Joseph honor God? Number one, because God is sovereign. And Joseph understood that God is in complete control. I'm glad that God does calm the storms in our life. I'm glad that He is there to help us through the storms of life. I'm so glad I know that God is in absolute control of everything in my life, no matter what it is, whether good or bad. God has given us some good things in our life, and it's amazing to go back and look and say, you know what, God did that for me, and He did that for me, and He did that for me. And then sometimes I go back and look that, hey, God allowed that to happen, and God allowed this to happen in order that He might mold me and shape me to the image of His dear Son. Amen? That's the goal. Our purpose in life is to honor and glorify God, and He does that. God shapes us and forms us into the image of His Son by simply molding us and making us by way of our various issues of life, the things that come about in life. And so Joseph absolutely understood this. I said that before. We said it a couple sermons ago. If he didn't believe that, then he would not have given credit to God for interpreting the dream. By the way, he wouldn't have been able to interpret the dream. God wouldn't have used him. If he had turned his back on God because of all these terrible things. By the way, terrible things happen. Sold into slavery by your own brothers. You know, falsely accused of wrongdoing by a lady that you had such a great testimony in that home. And yet, never gave up on the Lord. Never turned your back on the Lord. I'm telling you, I hear people all the time, well, preacher, you don't know what happened to me. And I understand, to you those problems are real. They are real. To you those problems are big. But sometimes it does help us when we see our own problems to kind of look around and see people who have bigger problems. I think about Brother Bandon tonight. What a great man. And his wife, what a lovely lady. And just, I mean, you think about the things they're going through. And sometimes it makes our problems look really small. Again, I'm not belittling our problems, because your problem is big to you. But understand that God will take you through that problem. And God will help you through that problem. And Joseph is a great illustration of that. That in everything that Joseph went through, everything that he faced as a young man in his teens, and then in his the early 20s and up to 30, those 12 years, golly, what a testimony. He understood that God is sovereign. That just basically means that God is above all. It means He's a supreme being in the universe. He is in absolute control. I'm glad I serve a God who is all-powerful, that He is all-knowing, that He knows what lies beyond the bend. You know, I can't see around the corner. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but He does. Absolutely, every time. I'm confident. I know most of you here tonight are, but it's good to be reminded Joseph was absolutely trusting in the Lord no matter what happens in life. Number two, and Joseph understood. Why did he honor God? Because God is wise. Because God is wise. I'll never forget Dr. Barber. Some of you know him, but one of our professors in college who said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? God is all wise. The Bible says, who can teach God? Who can teach God? Again tonight, and I know I say this statement a lot, but God has your best interest in mind. He's far, far beyond. His knowledge is far beyond anything we could understand or think. And for us to sometimes put our fist up at God, I was telling somebody the other day, it's not wrong when you get into a problem. Sometimes I'll say things like, it's wrong to ask God why. That's not true. When you're going through a circumstance, it is not wrong to ask God why. It depends on your motive and attitude. When I go through a problem, it's not wrong to say, God, why is this happening and what do I need to learn by it? What are you trying to teach me? God, have I sinned and this has happened in my life? Are you doing something here to so that I could be a better testimony and might get an opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord? Or, Lord, are you just simply getting glory out of this? Why is this happening to me? The wrong attitude is to say, why is this happening to me? And then turn your back on God. Right? Everybody with me? Wake up. All right. So sometimes I don't clarify when I say that. It is wrong to shake your fist at God and say, why me, Lord? You know? No, it's okay to go to Him and say, Lord, you know, why is this happening to me? And then do your very best to evaluate. And then when you don't get an answer, put it in God's hands. I want to remind you, Joseph had the dream that he told his mom and dad about. Joseph knew that someday his mom and dad and his brothers were going to bow down to him. He absolutely put his trust in the Word of God, in the sovereignty of God, knowing that God would fulfill what He said He would do. He absolutely believed in a sovereign God, in a wise God. And then maybe an application tonight is for the nation of Egypt and the world, there was only one way of salvation. Joseph was going to supply that. His interpretation, right? By the way, we won't go over it tonight, but Joseph's a great picture of Christ. Wonderful picture of our Lord and Savior. And God used Joseph to save the then known world from starving at that time. Salvation. When Joseph honored God in his life, when Joseph honored God with his life, God was glorified and nations were saved. Honoring God with your life glorifies God and brings salvation to others. Listen to this now. You should honor God. We should honor God. We should honor Him. We should respect Him with our lives. With our lives. Our lives should prove out our honor of Him. By way of our job, by way of our home, by way of our finances, it should prove it out. Number two, how do we honor God? By not living the American dream. I wrote it down so I wouldn't get it wrong. The American dream is get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. I think that's another Dr. Barber quote. It is. You know, it's not about all you can get. It's about honoring and glorifying God. My purpose in life is to glorify the Lord, to honor Him in my life. Number three, get in a place where you can make a difference. Get in a place where you can make a difference. You honor God, and He will give you opportunities to make a difference. You honor God. Joseph honored God, and it gave him an opportunity to make a difference. You give God the glory, and He will give you opportunities to make a difference. In other words, not only did Joseph honor God, but he gave God the glory. He deflected this ability that God had given him and made sure that it was attributed to God. that Pharaoh, hey, this is not me interpreting the dream. God is interpreting this for you. Instead of taking the honor upon himself, he deflected the honor to whom honor is due, to the Lord, to God. And God, because of his testimony, because of his honoring him, God put Joseph in a position to make a difference. That's what I'm saying tonight. If you will honor God in your life, if you will give him glory in your life, when good things come your way, you ought to give him glory. When bad things are coming your way, you should give him honor. And when things like that happen in your life, if you will do that, then he will give you opportunities to make a difference. Difference in other people's lives. Every day. Right? Be at the AT&T store and invite somebody to church and they come and surprise you. You know, you never know the difference you're going to make. You never know that one other person you may at work influence because you honored and glorified God in your life. In other words, when you experienced a trial, they saw a difference in you. When you did something great happened, you said, well, glory to God, or you gave God the glory for it. Right? This is an area all of us can work in. I have to be careful myself many times. As a pastor, I can get in the habit of saying, and I have in the past, not so much here in the last few years, but of saying my ministry or I, and you get the I going, and golly, it'll eat you up. We've got to be careful. Deflect that. It's God does these things in our life. And let me say it one more time. You make sure that God gets the glory, and you make sure that God gets the honor, and he is going to put you in a position of making a difference in somebody's life. By the way, I also believe it will put you in a position of blessing. That's what happened to Joseph. That's another sermon. We're going to use that later. But he will put you in a position of blessing. Don't think just because you're a Christian, you're in a position of blessing. That's not true. Brother Penix pointed out, obedience puts you in a place of blessing. Giving God honor and glory puts you in a position of blessing. And that's the next point. God blesses are connected to his purpose. In other words, as we glorify him, which is our purpose, then his blessings are given to us. Invest your life in giving God the glory. Invest your life in honoring him. Invest your life in God's mission. Our mission is to reach the world with the gospel. I appreciate Brother John Penix, who will go to the remote areas. I wouldn't do it. I'm just telling you now. God hadn't called me there. And I'm glad that God's called him. Amen. And I'll sure send their finances. I was abruptly honest, wasn't I? I said, I'm not going there. God hadn't called me there, number one. Now, if he called me there, that'd be different. But God didn't call me there. And Brother Penix has invited me to come up there. I might do that at some point. I don't know. I'm a homebody. But I'm praying for him to reach that one soul. To go to remote areas and just talk to 16 people. 4 people. 8 people, 2 people, 1 person. It's amazing. Invest your life in God's mission. Invest your life in Rusk, Texas. Rusk, Texas is down by Jacksonville, Texas, out in East Texas. Little town, kind of out in the middle of nowhere. It's a great place to plant a church. Let's invest our life in God's mission. God is good, isn't he? Our well-being depends upon how we honor and glorify God. All right, let's all stand. Hymn 118. Let's sing I Need Thee Every Hour. Joseph honored God. He respected God. Joseph glorified God. And therefore, God put Joseph in a position to be used. God put Joseph in a position to make a difference. And God will do the same with you. God will do the same with me. Lord, we thank you for the life of Joseph and for the example that he has set for us. We know that it's a godly example, and we pray that we would honor and glorify you as we should in order that you might put us in a position to make a difference, to be a blessing to someone else. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us as Christians throughout this next week to live for you in a greater way. In Jesus' name, amen.